Number of years ago, I took Kung Fu, took it for a number of years, and I had a teacher who, for him, Kung Fu was life. I mean, the only thing that really mattered was doing the things we did at Kung Fu. In fact, he was so into Kung Fu, in the middle of winter when we'd get heavy snows, he would go out to his garage, he would grab a shovel, and he would shovel the snow off the driveway. In the middle of the cold, in the middle of the freezing, snowy day, even often while it was still snowing, he would go out in his driveway and he would practice Kung Fu. That's dedication. I mean, that's zeal. That is someone saying, you know what, no matter what else happens in my life, I am going to do this thing. The Israelites had been turning away from God. And they had a king by name of Ahab who just, if you could do something wrong, he did it. He had a wife that was even worse. She, for a hobby, liked to kill prophets. Prophet in those days would be like a pastor today. So she just kind of got kicks out of just killing all the pastors she could find. God told them that you are going to pay for what you do. And they did pay for what they did. So God began to raise a man, and it took some years, but God raised a guy by the name of Jehu. And God was going to use King Jehu, who was the 10th king of Israel, to bring his judgment on Ahab and Jezebel. And he did. He had Jezebel killed. Ahab was already dead. He went around doing the things that God had called him to do. And in the midst of doing all of that, we come to the passage that Kibbe read this morning, our scripture reading. He is busy doing everything God had called him to do. He's running around wiping out witchcraft. He's wiping out all these people who had brought Israel to the brink of, you know, turning totally away from God. And in verse 15, it says, and he left there. He came upon Jehonadab, son of Rechab, who was on the way to meet him. Jehu greeted him and said, are you in accord with me as I am with you? Jehonadab was one who followed God and did what God wanted him to do. And basically, Jehu's saying, look, are you in agreement with me on this thing? And if I could read between the lines, here's what's going on. Jehu is saying, do you agree with me or do I have to kill you? Well, Jehonadab was honest. He didn't do out of fear. He was a follower of God. And he said, look, I'm in agreement with you. I'm in accord with you. I am, Jehonadab answered. If so, said Jehu, give me your hand. So he did, and Jehu helped him into the chariot. Jehu said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Jehu grabs him by the hand and said, look, if you're in agreement with me, but what I want you to do, he said, come and watch me. Give me your hand. I'm going to bring you into the chariot, and I want you to see my zeal for God. You know, there's a lot we can learn about the life of Jehu, but let me say, first thing this morning, be zealous for God. Be zealous for God. You know, I think of my instructor busy, you know, practicing Kung Fu, and that's fine. But the thing that ought to really take up our lives is our zeal for God. I wonder if you were driving your chariot and people were to walk alongside, would you be able to say, come on, hop up in my chariot and watch me serve God? Kids, when you go to school, Would you be able to walk up to your friends and say, you know what, well, holding my hand may not be a thing you'd say to your friend, although there's nothing wrong with that. But can you say, hey, come with me. I want you to watch how I serve God. Or you kind of go like this and say, boy, I hope no one knows that I go to church or serve God. Are you zealous for God? You know, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 says this. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. God's saying, look, if there's anything you ought to be zealous about, it ought to be God. Never be lacking in zeal. Serve God. I think as we look around that church today, we're not much different than Israel in that day. That there are many people today that go to church and claim the name of God, say they're a Christian, but they're not zealous for God. You know, God is an hour on Sunday morning or Saturday night. God is, you know, that time we put him in our box and we stick him there and that's it. But certainly people aren't grabbing others and saying, hey, why don't you come in my car and why don't you watch me drive around while I serve God? I want you to see my zeal for God. We're not seeing that today, unfortunately. Even among people who say they know God and they love God and they serve God and they sing the songs and they praise God and they sing all to Jesus, I surrender, I decide to follow Jesus. But then when we come back and we look at lives, we say, oh, where is it? Song sounds great, but where is it in your life? And we see so much manufactured things going on anymore. In churches, in pastors' lives, in Christians' lives. I got a postcard yesterday, and I turned to Connie and I said, look, and it was from a church in our area. I said, look, this is the stuff that's going on in churches. You got some national company writing a book and then taking that book and saying, here, pastors, I want you to preach each chapter on Sunday to your people and get your people all to buy these books, and you'd have Bible studies around these books, and here's what we want you to do. And I sit back and I think, all right, pastor, what's going on in your own life? Are you zealous for God? I want to give you a few things I think we ought to be zealous about. First of all, I think we ought to be zealous for God's word. Zealous for God's word. Job 23:12 says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. I wonder, when's the last time you skipped a meal so you could read God's word? I want you to think for a moment. Do me a favor, if you have a Bible this morning, hold it up. If you can hold that, your notes and your wives and your brother all at the same time, hold it up. See what everybody's holding up? This is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You can put them down. This, it's the Word of God. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created, and then he talked to us. Now, Kevin asked me this past Wednesday night, he said, what's the difference between the Bible and all the other religious books that are out there of all the different religions? This is the Word of God. Yeah, we held in our hand God's Word. Well, you know, I really don't see too many people zealous for God's Word. I see people say, well, if I have time at the end of the day and I'm not too tired, I'll read a verse. I see people who say, you know what, I could live the Christian life without even opening my Bible. I'll open it on Sunday or Wednesday, and that's all I need because I'm really busy. Right now we have the Awana teams challenged our M&M club to memorize a whole bunch of scripture. They're going down.
You know, that ought to be a regular thing going on in our lives. You know, that ought to be the reality of everyday living, that Christians are just grabbing this book and they're saying, you know what, this matters more to me than my bread, than my daily thing that I need to live life. This means more. Are you zealous for God's word? You know, I read all that God's word can do for us. It can help me be a better husband, and a better pastor, and a better parent. It can help me learn how to serve God. It can help me how to live with my neighbors. It can help me how to work. I mean, all that God can do for our lives, and we kind of throw it in the corner. Are you zealous for the Word of God? A number of years ago, Ann Marshott's home burned down. I don't know if it burned entirely, but it burned. And they had to run out of the house. And I remember the story being told to me, but when they got on the other side of the street and they're looking for everybody, the kids had her husband's Bible. It said, "Here, Dad." If your house was burning, what would you be grabbing? I mean, I don't know about you, but I have a Bible I just got a couple years ago now, but I fill it with notes. I got all kinds of stuff in it. That's just, I have a thumb drive in my office, and I was thinking about what people might be able to come in and steal. And I thought the most valuable thing in my office is that thumb drive. So we have a cabinet that locks, and I was thinking if someone came in and they put a gun to my head and said, unlock that cabinet. I was wondering, what would I do? Would I say you can have the money, or would I say you can't have the money? We don't keep money in there, you know. What's in the cabinet? It's that thumb drive. And that thumb drive is probably 95% of all the sermons and all the notes I've ever done in my entire life. If that was gone, basically my entire work of life would be gone, and I'd have to start all over. I'd be ready to protect that, because it all relates to this. Are you zealous for God's word? Let me give you a second thing we ought to be zealous for. We ought to be zealous for church attendance. We ought to be zealous for church attendance. I'm always amazed at Christians who say, "Why do I have to go to church?" Or who say, "Show me in the Bible where it says you have to go to church." It's a contradiction. It's just a contradiction. Show me in the manual where it says you have to eat. You know, show me in the manual where it says you have to breathe. God doesn't tell us, sit down and say, you know, well, here's 36 verses on why you need to make sure you're in church. It's taken for granted. It's taken for granted that we would be zealous to want to be where we could hear God's word preached, where we could gather together with other believers and sing the praises of God, where we can just gather together and be where God wants to be. It's just taken for granted. In John, it says this about Jesus. "Zeal for your house will consume me." It's John 2:17. And at the time, he was talking about the temple, because he wanted to go to the place that was the center of worship. Even though at that time, the worship that was going on there was horrible, Jesus wanted to be in that place where the Israelites would gather as a body, as a group, to worship God. And that is what the church is today. Can I worship God out in the woods, out on the lake? Absolutely. But God also commands us as a body of believers to gather together to worship Him. We ought to be zealous for church attendance. Psalm 42, you don't need to turn there, listen. So it says, the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. David is running, and he's saying, look, the thing that I remember, the thing that, you know, really causes me to cry is that I can't go with other believers and be together and praise and worship God. That's what he's saying. The thing that makes me cry, tears have been my flood all day long, is I can't gather with other believers, followers of God, and worship him. Is that how you feel when you miss church? Or do you look for every excuse in the book to find a reason not to be in church? Number three, we ought to have a zeal for giving. We ought to have a zeal for giving. You know, last I remembered, the average that the average Christian gives is about 3% of their income to church. The Israelites gave 10% of their income. If they could do that, what are we doing giving to? The Bible says where our heart is, or where our money is, that's where our heart is. And if we're not, don't have a heart for giving to God's church, to serve God, to do the work of God, then I might ask this morning, where is your heart? Second Corinthians 8:7. But just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and your love for us, listen, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Notice what he compares it with. He talks about faith and speech and knowledge and earnestness and love, but also giving. He says, excel in giving. If you look at your giving on a regular Sunday basis, is it excelling? Or is it nickel and diming? You know, when I go to a restaurant, before I go, I kind of look to see what money I have to make sure I have money for the waitress. You know, am I sure I'm going to have it the right amount so I could give the waitress, so I can make sure I give her a decent tip? Are you a tipper? Throw a few nickels and dimes? Or do you excel in giving? Number four. Holiness. Holiness. Peter said, God said through Peter, be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. Ephesians 5:4, he says, look, don't even let there be a hint of sexual immorality among you. Not even a hint. In other words, make sure that your life is lived in such a way that there's not even a hint that you're immoral, that you're going to do anything wrong. Why? Because you are holy. If we were to play your life on the screen, would it show holiness? I want you to know, the only thing you do by immorality is mess up your life and everybody else who's involved. We ought to have a zeal for holiness. We live in a society and a world where the morality is just going down and down and down. Talking to a lady not too long ago, she said, you know, I looked around and all my 13 and 14-year-old nieces are pregnant. Be holy as he is holy. You have zeal for holiness. Number five, prayer. Do you have zeal for prayer? Jerry Falwell, I just heard this about him when I was down at a pastor's conference with Joe, church conference. He had a saying that I hadn't heard before, but I'm glad I've heard it because I think it's true. He says, all failures are prayer failures. All failures are prayer failures. Yeah, I'm so excited. because a number of years ago, I used to go on the hall with a buddy of mine, and we'd pray for the girl we were going to date and the girl we would ultimately marry, and at this time we weren't dating anybody. And when I look for answered prayer, you know, you kind of look at your life and say, what prayer did God answer? I always look at that, and that's always the thing that pops in my head first, that God answered that prayer. We used to pray for Amy. We prayed for our kids before our kids were born, but then we would pray for our kids when Connie got pregnant, and then I began praying for Amy that she'd find a good husband. God answered that prayer. So I think about God answered my prayer for a wife, my daughter's prayer, or my daughter's need for a husband. Now I'm praying for my son. That is a bigger need. And I'm praying that God will move mountains, but not be in any hurry. Luke 5:16 says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 5:16. He often got away by himself and he prayed. You know, as busy as he was, every so often he'd sneak off. And what would he do? He'd pray. Are you often sneaking off and praying by yourself? Number six, serving. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. You know, the reason we're still here after you got saved is because God wants you to do something. Are you serving God? You know, if God didn't want us to serve us, he'd save us, and then, boop, heaven. Now, that wouldn't be bad, but that's not what God does, because he wants us to serve him. I wonder, are you serving God? Can you look at others and say, hey, come see my zeal. I want you to see the things I'm doing for God. Now, we wouldn't normally do that because we want to be humble and we don't want to, you know, be proud. But if we could kind of throw that aside, would you be able to say, look, here's the things I'm doing for God. And it shows how zealous I am for God. One more. Witnessing. Witnessing. In Acts 1:8, the disciples were told to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came, and then they were to go to the world. They were to start in Jerusalem, they were to go to the world. Are you telling others about Christ? I want you to know that you are not spiritual, you are not mature if you are not telling others about Christ. People sometimes say, well, look at my Bible knowledge. If you are not telling others about Jesus, you're just not mature. Everything that we do ultimately ought to point to sharing Christ with other people. Are you witnessing? Next week, I mean, this just we do as a church to give you an opportunity to invite people to church and to share Christ. Are you telling others about Jesus? So are you zealous for God? I mean, can I look at your life and your life would display zeal? I want you to notice the second thing about Jehu. Skip down with me in the story of Jehu, down to verse 28. He gets to Jehonadab on his chariot. He begins, you know, doing the things that God had called him to do. And I want you to notice we get down to verse 28 as we get to the end of their driving in the chariot as Jehu's doing all these things. And I want you to know it says, so Jehu destroyed Baal worship in Israel. All right, don't read. I love saying that because I love watching people continue to read. You know, the sad thing is we go on to verse 29 and it says, however, he did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Secondly, this morning, be absolute in your zeal. Be absolute in your zeal. He does all these things that God wanted him to do, and then it says, but he didn't turn away from these sins. Are you hiding anything in your closet? Are you looking like, you know, the big spiritual Christian, but you know there's something back in the closet? You destroyed all these other things, but these sins you haven't turned away because you're hiding in the closet? You know, God doesn't want people to follow him with a divided heart. Jesus said, look, you can't serve God and money at the same time. It just doesn't work. But he could go on and he could add to that list and say, you can't serve God and have all these other things in your heart either. It's fine to want to build a business. It's fine to want to, you know, make your house look great. It's fine to work in your yard and make it nice. It's fine to have a hobby and, you know, really love that hobby and do things in that hobby and want to be the best at your hobby. But I want you to know the number one thing in your life, no matter who you are and what you do, it ought to be your relationship with God. Do you have an absolute zeal for God? And is it undivided? Jehu's was not. I want to give you a third thing, and it's not found in this passage. But it's this. Don't let your zeal fizzle. Don't let your zeal fizzle. And it's really seen in Jehu's overall life. Because when he's running around on a chariot saying, come see my zeal for God, I mean, he's being real zealous for God. But then when you get to the end, all of a sudden he's not turned away from these other sins. So we kind of see his life going like this. I've been a pastor a long time. And I watch Christians. And sometimes I see them up here, and I watch this happen. You know, you get saved, you're serving God, you're excited about it. Maybe you've come to this church now and you're excited about serving God. Your zeal's been renewed and you want to do things for God. Or maybe you have a specific ministry and now you're excited about doing that thing. It's so easy to let our zeal fizzle. That's why so many champions often don't repeat. Because it's so hard. So you know what I would say? I would say, be careful you don't get kind of way up here, because it's hard to maintain way up here. Kind of get your life in an even flow where you can kind of maintain that spot that you're in, so that as you're doing what God wants you to do and you're keeping that excitement about what God wants you to do, you don't fizzle. You know what one of the saddest things that I see in churches today is that we look at the older people of the church and we can't pair them up with the younger people of the church to be an example to them. And that's exactly what the Bible says we ought to be doing. Now, if you're older, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking in a very general way. I mean, I'm not mentioning Althea or anything like that. Yeah, that's exactly what we ought to be doing. My daughter went to a class at her church. It's called Apples of Gold. And it's the older ladies in the church getting together with the younger ladies, and I believe it's a kind of a national thing. And what they do is they teach them how to cook, they teach them how to sit, and what fork goes with what fork, and you know, all that kind of thing. But in the middle of all that, they sit down and have a Bible study. And it's the older women teaching younger women how to be godly women. You know, the closer you get to the Lord, the more zealous you ought to be for God. As you age and you have years under your belt and you have more years that you've served God, you ought to be more zealous for God, not less. So where's your heart? Can we jump in your car after church and you say to us, you roll your window down and say, hey, come on. I want you to watch me for a week because I want you to see how zealous I am for God. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every heart open before God, let me ask you this morning, does the time you spend in God's Word show that you're zealous for His Word? Are you zealous to be here in church with other believers? Are you zealous for giving and holiness and prayer and serving and witnessing? Is it an undivided zeal? You got kind of no things hidden in the closet? Is your zeal growing or is it fizzling? Father God, help us not to look at anyone else. Help us to look at our own heart. And Father, I pray that we would have a heart that would be zealous for you, that would be fervent. I pray, Lord, that our lives would be real. And I pray, Lord, that you may gain praise from our zeal. For we pray in Jesus' name.